انما تنذر الذين يخشون ربهم بالغیب. This warning has come for all mankind, but everyone's not going to listen to it. And this is exactly what happens. If there are 50 people listening to the Quran, why is it that only 20 will pray at the end of the gathering? Why is it that all 50 will not pray? And the answer is very simple. إِنَّمَا تُنذِرُ الَّذِينَ يَخْشَوْنَ رَبَّهُمْ بِالْغَيْبِ. You can only warn people who have an inequality which is described as khashya. Now khashya is an amazing word, and it describes an inner state of reverence and awe. Day and night we hear fear Allah, and fear in our mind has negative connotations. We fear Allah as in we fear Islam, and we think Allah is na'uzubillah some dominating being who just wants to take us over completely and rule our lives. That's not the sort of fear that the mu'min has. The mu'min has a fear which is not a senseless or superstitious fear. The mu'min's fear is pure. His fear of Allah is something very sensitive. It's a state of awe when you're awed by Allah. Sometimes you're awed by someone. You're awed by their presence. There are people that you find yourself unable to speak comfortably in front of. Not because of anything, but you know, some people have a lot of noor on their faces sometimes. And you look at them and you think, you know, wow. And you're just speechless. You can't speak. Think of Allah who is Nurus Samawati Walad, radiance of the heavens and the earth, the most beautiful being, the most loving being, the most generous being. Is He not deserving of our reverence? Is He not deserving of our khashya? And Allah says, so you can only warn people whose inward state is one of khashya. They are awed by Allah. And the beautiful thing about them is bil ghaib. They've never seen Him. But they're awed by Him. They're awed by His book. They are overawed, completely and absolutely spellbound by Allah. What is their outward state? Because everyone claims, oh, I love Allah. And I just love thinking about Allah. That's easy. Aqamu salah. This inward khashya is translated into outward salah. Inward and outward are both in harmony. What happens is, in our society, we see both kinds of people. We see people who don't pray, and they talk about their love for Allah, and you want to go on listening to them, they can talk for hours. Or on the other hand, you see people who are praying, but they're so hard and they're so rigid that they frighten you. Allah says that true mu'mineen are those whose inward and outward is one and the same. Inward reverence and outward salah. And Allah goes on to say, وَمَن تَزَكَّى, whoever purifies himself. And this is the best form of tazkiyah. This is the manifestation of someone who has purified himself, that his inward is awed by Allah and his outward is one of one who establishes salah. وَمَن تَزَكَّى فَإِنَّمَا يَتَزَكَّى لِنَفْسِهِ. Remember, this path might seem difficult. Sirat al-Mustaqim might seem arduous. Many boulders, many obstacles. But at the end of the day, if you get on that path, you're doing it for your own success. You're the one who's going to benefit. وَاللَّهُ هُوَ الْغَنِيُّ الْحَمِيدُ. Because Allah is rich and He is praiseworthy. Whoever purifies himself, self-purification. Self-purification is one of the points that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to the dunya with. This is one of his four-point agenda. This was his focus in reforming and purifying the ummah. And it was this attribute, it was this focus of his that resulted in the transformation of those debauched, unruly drunkards into world leaders and world conquerors. Now the question arises, why should we purify ourselves? What's the big deal? And the answer is very simple. It's found in a hadith in which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ طَيِّبٌ مَا يَقْبُلُ إِلَّا طَيِّبًا. Allah is pure. He only accepts that which is pure. We feel insulted if someone sends us an inferior gift. If someone sends you stale food, or someone sends you a gift that is like an insult, you feel insulted. And you think it was better if they hadn't sent it. In the same way, when we send Allah's salah, which is full of showing off, which is full of arrogance, which is full of complacency, then that is a salah which is not accepted by Allah. Remember the hadith we read, that when you read your salah at the end of it, this is the gist of the hadith, either your salah prays for you or it curses you. Either your salah says, Allah establish him or her as he established me, or it says, Allah destroy him or her as he or she destroyed me. Why is that salah being held back on our face if it was unworthy? إِنَّمَا يَتَقَبَّلَ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْمُتَّقِينَ. Because Allah is perfect and He only accepts from those who are Allah conscious. He does not need half-hearted ibadah, half-hearted worship. وَمَن تَزَكَّى فَإِنَّمَا يَتَزَكَّى لِنَفْسِهِ. This benefit is one that you and you alone will understand. The benefits of purifying yourself, the benefits of fearing Allah in awe and reverence, the benefits of establishing salah. This is something that only someone who is treading this path can appreciate. What sort of difference is this and how do we gain it? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as I mentioned earlier, gave us a 4-point agenda on purifying ourselves. And the first point he taught us was, يَتْلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ. He recited upon the Ummah Allah's verses. And tilawa is something which most Muslims nowadays neglect. There is a fashion nowadays that let's read the English translation and we don't need the Arabic. Read the English translation, it's very important, but don't neglect the Arabic. By no means can you neglect the Arabic, because this is the Quran in its original form. Then the next thing he taught us was in-depth study of the Quran and in-depth study of Sunnah. And when we do all three of these things and establish Salah, inshallah, we will gain purification, self-purification. And we can only purify ourselves through His way. Until you actually look at His practical demonstration, Quran is just theories. Allah tells us how to pray, He doesn't tell us how to pray. You find that out through the Sunnah. Now the question arises, what's the urgency? What's the urgency in all this? What's the big hurry? And Allah tells us, إِلَى اللَّهِ الْمَصِيرُ. To Allah is the return, that's the hurry. And the return can be today, tomorrow, next year, next month. Nobody knows. And nobody will know beforehand. A scholar once said, do you hope for forgiveness when you have not trodden its paths? This is what we do. We haven't tried to gain Allah's forgiveness, but when we think about death, we say, oh, Allah's Ghafoor Rahim. He said, do you hope for forgiveness when you have not trodden its paths? A ship does not sail on dry land. How can we hope for Allah's forgiveness when our deeds and our words declare something else? When our deeds and our words declare rebellion, how then can we pretend that we're all doing this in hope for forgiveness from Allah? إِلَى اللَّهِ الْمَصِيرُ. The journey is back to Allah. We're here for a very short while. If you ask people who have been through accidents, and they say that at a moment when it seems like you're going to die, all your life comes rushing back at you. Memories. Everything's moving very fast. Your mind is moving very fast. Why? Because it seems to you that you see your life pitilessly for what it really was. And for most of us, the answer would just be a sheer waste. إِلَى اللَّهِ الْمَصِيرُ. To Allah is the return. Now, if you want to know what the difference is between someone, between understanding and not understanding, look at Allah's examples. Because we hear verses like these and then we go home and comfort ourselves and say, no, I know so many good people and they also don't read the Quran and they also don't read prayers and they're really good people and I can't believe all these terrible things. Shaitan doesn't like us to feel uneasy about Akhirah for too long, so he makes us forget. Read the next verses, imagine these images, and know that this is the difference between one who knows and one who does not know. What images are these? وَمَا يَسْتَوِي الْأَعْمَى وَالْبَصِيرُ. The blind and the one who can see are not the same. Have you ever seen a blind man? Have you ever seen a blind person? Their total dependence, their total deprivation from this world of light and beauty, so much that they're missing out on, just because their eyes cannot see. And people who have actually experienced illnesses in which they suffer temporary blindness, and then their sight is restored. If you read about their experiences, it's astonishing. You know how they appreciate each nuance of color. Every color for them is a sheer delight, because they have tasted the darkness of complete blindness. Now here Allah is not speaking about physical blindness. He's talking about spiritual blindness. In the Quran, Allah says, it's not the eyes that grow blind, it's the hearts within the breast that grow blind. When your heart is blind, how do we know whether our heart is blind? We listen to the Quran and it's so boring. It is so boring. Or we listen to the Quran, it's so frightening, I don't want to hear it. I look at the stars, I look at the trees, and I don't think of Allah. I think of nothing. And this is a state of spiritual blindness in which most of us spend our lives. مَا يَسْتَوِي الْأَعْمَى وَالْبَصِيرُ Who is Al-Basir then? Al-Basir is someone who sees Allah in everything. An artist once told me that she painted Al-Hay, and Al-Hay is one of Allah's names, meaning the eternal. And she painted Al-Hay, and Al-Hay is surrounded within a beautiful flower. And she said, I just walked out in the garden one day, and I saw this flower, and to me the flower seemed to embody Allah's beauty and Allah's eternity. That this flower is temporary, but Allah is eternal. This is the vision of someone who sees with the eyes of the heart, not just physical sight. وَلَا الظُّلُمَاتُ وَلَا النُّورُ And nor darknesses and light. And we can experience this ourselves. If you compare, when you walk out, sometimes when you walk out of a room that's pitch dark, and you walk out into bright sunlight, and you're blinking, it takes you a while to get used to the change. This is why when we first start finding out about the Quran and about Islam, it seems too harsh, it seems too strong for us. But when your eyes get used to the sunlight, you wouldn't want that darkness back, would you? You need that light so you can see your way clearly. وَلَا الظِّلُّ وَلَا الْحَرُورِ And nor can the shade and the sun's blazing heat be the same. Look at the vivid images Allah gives us. Imagine, you know, it's the blazing heat of summer and you walk in to your cool air-conditioned room and the sigh of relief that you give, oh, it's so beautiful. You just stand there savoring that moment. And this is what Islam is. It's like the cool shade. It's like radiance after darkness. It's like vision after blindness. And most importantly, it's like life after death. وَمَا يَسْتَوِي الْأَحْيَاءُ وَلَا الْأَمْوَاتُ The living and the dead cannot be the same. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the example of one who remembers Allah and one who does not remember Allah is like the example of the living and the dead. One has that spiritual connection, and the other might be walking around, he might be talking, he might be having all his relationships, but he is like a walking corpse on the face of this earth because he has denied his very source of existence. He is like an orphan who's turned his back on his source of existence itself. And just as a corpse in a grave is totally indifferent to what's happening in dunya, doesn't know, doesn't care, that doesn't interest him anymore, he doesn't even know about it anymore. All the political events, everything that's happening in dunya, in the same way, someone whose heart is dead is someone who is totally and absolutely indifferent to the Quran. And that's a very dangerous sign. If you listen to the Quran and you're not moved, that means there's something seriously wrong. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُسْمِعُ مَن يَشَاءُ Allah makes to hear whom He wills. So ask Him for this ability. That Allah, when I hear the Quran, let it move me. Let it affect me. Let it soften my heart. وَمَا أَنْتَ بِمُسْمِعِ مَنْ فِي الْقُبُولِ You can't make the people of the grave listen. They just can't. They're dead. It's over. إِنْ أَنْتَ إِلَّا نَذِيرٌ You're just a warner. That's his job, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's our job too. We just have to convey. And once you've conveyed, you've done your task. You don't have to convince. You don't have to spy. Convincing is Allah's job, not ours. Our job is simply to pass the message on. And this was what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did. Inna arsalnaka bilhaqqi bashiran wa nadhira. We have sent you with the truth as a bringer of glad tidings and as a warner. Why is it that we flee from deen? Why is it that Islam is so oppressive and frightening for us? You tell people to come to the Quranic gatherings and they literally shudder. You know, people look at women sometimes who are dressed Islamically. I had this experience once myself. I walked into a wedding and my mother pointed me out to a lady over there and she said, that's my daughter. And that woman looked at me and she shuddered like this. And she said, it's really spreading. She sounded like I was this harbinger of this terrible plague, and you know, oh, I'm here to get you. So this is what we find, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, He was bashira wa nadira. Why were we so scared? Why are we so scared of the Quran? Why are we so scared of Islam in a negative way? We're not scared in a positive way. We run from it. Oh, don't tell me. Why? When He came with two aspects, bashira wa nadira, bringer of glad tidings and as a warner. And bashira comes first. Wa in min ummatin, and there's nothing new about His prophethood, either sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There was no nation illa khala fiha nadir, but a warner came to them. And this is Allah's love for mankind. Ungrateful sinners as we are, again and again He sends us warnings. And Allah warns Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to him He gives a message of love and reassurance. Wa in yukadhibuka, and if they deny you, if they belie you, faqad kazzaba alladhina min qablihim, many before them have also denied. Ja'atum rusuluhum bilbayyinat, their prophets brought them the shining proofs. Wa bizzubri, and they brought them the scriptures. Wa bilkitabil munir, and they brought them the radiant book. All the things that Allah sent to convince sinful, ungrateful man about the existence of Allah. And what did He do? ثُمَّ أَخَذْتُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا, then I seize those who deny. This is Allah's rahmah. He gives us chances again and again and again, but there comes a day when our chances run out. You don't want to accept? Fine. And as I read somewhere, those who don't believe in Allah's mercy can't expect to be saved by it. This is like a man who is swept downstream in a raging torrent. The hand of mercy is extended just above his head. He need only grasp it, but he does not believe in it, and so he does not see it, and the torrent carries him away. This is what happens to people, and it happens to nations. ثُمَّ أَخَذْتُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا, then I seized them. Their time was up, and they would not believe, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala seized them. فَكَيْفَ كَانَ نَكِيرٌ, how terrible was my punishment. If you read about the people who have been destroyed by Allah, if you read about the people of Pompeii, how thousands of people destroyed in one volcanic eruption, thousands of people just sitting around eating their meals, involved in their daily life, and bang, that calamity comes and they're all wiped out. They are all extinguished. If you look at the people of Lut alayhi salam, the very area that they used to live is submerged within water. That area is most frighteningly called the Dead Sea. No living organism can survive within that water. فَكَيْفَ كَانَ نَكِيرٌ, how terrible was my punishment. Don't treat it as a joke. It's not a joke. This is Allah's iqab that we're talking about. And Allah again reminds us of His love. Why do we rush upon His wrath when He has given us so much love? Why do we keep delaying, keep denying, keep defying until He has to destroy us, when there is so many things He has placed on this earth as a gift for us? Alam tara? Have you never seen? Have you never opened your eyes and looked around you at this vast picture book that Allah has given you? Anna Allah anzala mina samai ma'a. Allah sent down from the sky water. Do you know Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to hold his face up to the rain and say, this has recently been with its Lord? He used to teach the Muslims to seek Allah through little signs of nature, what we think are little, but actually enormous miracles. How can so much water come pouring out of the sky in just the right quantity? We know what happens when there's too much. We see what happens when there's too little. Alam tara? Have you never thought about it? أَنَّ اللَّهَ أَنزَلَ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مَاءً. Look at the water, look at the rain. Look how it brings the dead earth back to life. Look how it revives everything on the face of this earth. فَأَخْرَجْنَا بِهِ ثَمَرَاتٍ مُخْتَلِفًا أَلْوَانُهَا. And we produce therewith fruits of different colors. وَمِنَ الْجِبَالِ جُدَدٌ, and among the mountains are streaks. بِيَدٌ وَحُمْرٌ مُخْتَلِفٌ أَلْوَانُهَا وَغَرَابِيبُ سُودٌ, white and red of different colors, and others very black. Look at the vivid imagery that Allah is giving us. This kaleidoscope of colors. Look at the mountains, look at the rain, look at the fruits, look at this diversity. If you look at the colors just of one peach, and they are so amazing. And they are so exquisite. It's like a work of art that no artist can reproduce. وَمِنَ النَّاسِ وَالدَّوَّابِ وَالْأَنْعَامِ مُخْتَلِفٌ أَلْوَانُهُ. And of men, thus, and living creatures, and cattle of various colors. No two sisters are absolutely alike. Look at the diversity in human features, and human complexions, and human forms. إِنَّمَا يَخْشَ اللَّهُ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلُمَى. What an amazing conclusion. Only those who have knowledge among his slaves truly revere Allah. This is Islam's emphasis on knowledge, an emphasis that is not found in any other tradition to this extent. The very first verse of the Quran was Iqra, read, find out. But Bismi Rabbik, in the name of your Lord. In focusing on the creation, don't forget the creator, please. In focusing on the art, don't forget the artist. إِنَّمَا يَخْشَ اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلُمَى. Now which ulama are these? We know so many. This is an age of so-called information where there is no real knowledge. It's just superficial information. You want information on any site, you can just turn on the net and you can find whatever you're looking for. But that's not knowledge, is it? According to Sufyan bin Thawri, there are three kinds of knowledge. One is a person who is alimun billah, someone who knows Allah. This is someone who loves Allah, reveres Allah, but might not have knowledge of Allah's deen. And you come across such people, you know, sometimes it's a poor villager. And this poor villager might have more love in his heart than any of us do. But he doesn't know anything about Islam, but this is just natural and spontaneous love for Allah. Then there is another kind of knowledge or another kind of scholar, and this is alimun bi amrillah, someone who knows of Allah's commands. Now this is someone who might have a lot of academic knowledge, a lot of intellectual brilliance. He knows which surah, which verse comes in, knows the tafsir perfectly, knows the background of the verses, knows the Quran by heart, but there's no reverence and there is no fear. It's just all in the mind, all in the brain. And then the third and the best alim is one who combines both knowledge, both kinds of knowledge within him. Someone who loves and fears Allah and someone who has knowledge of Allah's commands. The sort of scholar that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was and the sort of scholars that he trained. Of such, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the angels lower their wings over the seeker of knowledge, being pleased with what he does. The inhabitants of the heavens and the earth and even the fish in the depth of the ocean seek forgiveness for him. The superiority of the learned over the devout worshipper is like that of the full moon to the rest of the stars. The learned are the heirs of the prophets, who bequeath neither dinar nor dirham, but only knowledge. إِنَّمَا يَخْشَ اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلُمَى. True knowledge is reverence of Allah. Someone once said, true knowledge is not how many ahadith you know. True knowledge is how much khashya, how much reverence you bear in your heart for Allah. إِنَّمَا يَخْشَ اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلُمَى. So this should be our goal, this should be our ambition, to become one of these scholars. إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَزِيزٌ غَفُورٌ. Allah is almighty, Allah is all forgiving. Why does Allah mention mightiness here? Why does He mention forgiveness here? To teach us that Allah is so powerful, He could destroy all of us. But He is so forgiving that He gives us chances again and again. Now if you look at this verse, you will find something amazing. Allah mentions the most beautiful things of His creation. You know, the beauty and the difference of colors. And then he mentions the people of knowledge specifically. And this is something we find that Allah has done to encourage us that we too might seek such peaks of knowledge. This should be our summit. This should be our goal. This should be our ambition. Allah mentions, it's like Allah mentions the best of His creation, which is man. And the best of all men are al-ulama, the ones of true knowledge. And Allah mentions their outward. Now again, notice that Allah keeps on talking about this quality of khashya, reverence. How do we know whether someone has reverence within him? It's very simple. This is going to be their outward life. This is going to be their outward form. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَتْلُونَ كِتَابَ اللَّهِ Those who recite Allah's book. It comes one more time. Tilawa of the book. How often do we recite the Quran, if at all? Do we recite the Quran on a daily basis? Do we recite the Quran in Fajr? Long surahs? If not in Fajr, then after Fajr? Take time out. Take 10 minutes out at least each day for tilawa of the Quran. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever listens to even one verse of the Quran will be given double the reward. And whoever reads it, it will become light for him on the day of judgment. The gist of the hadith. He said, the reader, the companion of the Quran will be told, recite and ascend. Ascend with facility as you used to recite with facility in the world. This is in Jannah. Your final abode is the height you reach at the last verse you recite. I love this image. The image it conjures up in my mind of a person in Jannah. He's going higher and higher and higher. And you know, when he stops, he would wish that I had never stopped in dunya. That I had gone on reading the Quran so I could have made it right till Jannatul Firdaus. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَتْلُونَ كِتَابَ اللَّهِ Those who recite the book of Allah. وَأَقَامُوا الصَّلَاةَ And one more time, they establish salah. وَأَنفَقُوا مِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ سِرًّا وَعْلَانِيًا They spend from whatever we have given them, secretly and openly. Now salah comes again and again as a reminder that salah requires perseverance, salah requires diligence, and most importantly, salah is your hotline with Allah. It's your connection with Allah. People who read salah regularly are people who are very calm in the face of adversity because they just get on that prayer mat and they start praying. And this is something that you should try for yourself. You'll have noticed that when disaster strikes, people who pray regularly will be more calm than people who don't. Because they know what they're supposed to do. They know that they have a source of strength that will not fail them. They know they have a treasure that no one can steal from them, no matter what else might have been stolen. أَقَامُ الصَّلَاةَ They establish salah, the best way of purifying yourself. Now if you look at these three actions are described, tilawa, salah, and spending. If you look at tilawa as being the source of your knowledge, then what does that knowledge teach you? حُقُوقُ اللَّهِ As in salah and hukukul ibad, as in spending. This is the balanced life of a mu'min. Neither is he so extreme that he's just praying all day with no time for people, nor is he spending so much that he's no time for prayer. No, a balanced, moderate vision. And Allah says they spend secretly and openly. Now the advantages of a secret sadqa are evident. You're doing it secretly, it's good for your intention. Your intention will not be spoiled. Allah's anger is extinguished. On the day of judgment, shade will be given to someone whose right hand gave and his left did not know what he was giving. And that also has been taken to imply that someone who spends so generously, even his loved ones don't know how much he's given. And this happens when a mu'min dies sometimes and people come up and then the family start finding out he gave so many sadqat and so much money and we never even found out about it. But the advantages of an open sadqa, of a public sadqa are also great. Human beings are imitative by nature. So if you see someone putting money in the sadqa box, you'll think, why should I be left behind? So an public sadqa is also something that you can do from time to time, but pray to Allah to protect your intention. So these three actions, your knowledge from the book of Allah, your huququllah and huququl ibad, both being fulfilled, what happens? يَرْجُونَ تِجَارَةً لَنْ تَبُورُ They hope for an investment that will not fail. Subhanallah. No worldly investment can be described in such terms. You know, no worldly investment, none whatsoever. No matter how safe it might seem, no matter how many advertisements, no matter how well they might have marketed it, it cannot be a fully safe investment. Anything can and generally does go wrong. You know, when you've put in a lot of money and it happens that people have their whole fortune wiped out in that so-called safe investment. So what investment is Allah speaking of here? This is Allah, people. Allah who is Ar-Rahman, Rabbul Alameen. Allah who does not lie to His slaves. And He tells us that if you do this, if you invest in My Quran, if you invest in my deen, you take time out for Me, and I will solve all your problems. Tijaratan lan tabur. And this is something that people can guarantee from personal experience. This happens when you're serving Allah's deen, you will find your life goes smoothly. And when you step out of it, you will find that your life starts crumbling around you. Why is all of this happening? What sort of investment will this be? لِيُوَفِّيَهُمْ أُجُورَهُمْ, that He may recompense them with their rewards. وَيَزِيدَهُمْ مِنْ فَضْلِ, this is so beautiful. He will give them more than they deserved. And only Allah can do that. You know, this is something in dunya, think how we, when we buy something or someone does something for us and how stingily we calculate each penny. We don't want to pay more than what we took on or what we, you know, guaranteed. This is Allah, yazidahum min fadli. He's just waiting for you to turn to Him and His doors are unlocked and all that treasure comes pouring into your lap. Innahu ghafurun shakur. He is so forgiving. So many mistakes, so many shortcomings that He overcame. He said, doesn't matter. Forget it. Ghafur comes from ghafaran. That means He covers up for us. And only Allah can do this. In dunya, if we forgive someone, we make sure we keep reminding them of it. And occasionally maybe mention it, you know, so they remember how beholden they are to us. But Allah is ghafur. He forgives you. That's it. It's over. It's deleted. No one knows about it. No one but you and Allah. And man is such that he forgets the next instant. Shakur. Appreciate it. I mean, in dunya, you can kill yourself or someone and they will not even turn around and thank you. Allah is shakur. And shakur is such an amazing word to use with Allah. Shakur, when we use it for a person, it means someone, even if he's not received so much, yet still he thanks Allah. And when we use it for Allah, it means that the deed did not merit that ajr, but still He gave it. The deed was nothing in itself. And if you think about it, all our deeds, no matter how hard we try, they are, at the end of the day, they cannot be worthy of Allah. They can't be worthy of Him because He is unique. He is perfect and our deeds are very imperfect. And our deeds cannot merit paradise either. I mean, if the wealthiest man in the world cannot buy the whole dunya, no one, no matter whether he's Bill Gates or whoever, cannot buy the whole world, right? So if he can't buy the whole world, how can our pathetic deeds buy Jannah, which is as the width of the heavens and the earth? And this is the Jannah that we arrogantly speak about as our own birthright, as our heritage. Innahu ghafurun shakur. Anyone who makes it to Jannah, it's thanks to Allah's mercy and generosity.